Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing our study in the book of Acts, and we are in chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We're going to start back at verse 12 and then focus in verse 17 and following. This is God's word. "Many signs and wonders were being done among the people through the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared to join them, but the people spoke well of them. Believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, multitudes of both men and women. As a result, they would carry the sick out into the streets and lay them on cots and mats so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. In addition, a multitude came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, he and all who were with him, who belonged to the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. So they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail during the night, brought them out, and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and tell the people all about this life.' Hearing this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. When the high priest and those who were with him arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full council of the Israelites, and sent orders to the jail to have them brought. But when the servants got there, they did not find them in the jail. So they returned and reported, 'We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing in front of the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.' As the captain of the temple police and the chief priests heard these things, they were baffled about them, wondering what would come of this. Someone came and reported to them, 'Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then the commander went with the servants and brought them in without force because they were afraid the people might stone them. After they had brought them in, they had them stand before the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked, 'Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood.' Peter and the apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than people. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree. God exalted this man to his right hand as ruler and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was respected by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered the men to be taken outside for a little while. He said to them, 'Men of Israel, be careful about what you're about to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and attracted a following. He also perished, and all his followers were scattered. So in the present case, I can tell you, stay away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or this work is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even be found fighting against God. They were persuaded by him. After they called in the apostles and had them flogged, they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and released them. Then they went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name. Every day in the temple and in various homes, they continued teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love this story. First of all, because it's true. Don't ever forget that the reason that the Christian faith is so powerful is because it's not based on a myth. It's not based on wishful thinking. It is not based on exaggeration. It is the truth. These things really happened. And the history that we're reading points us to knowing God better so that we better serve him today. God was doing miraculous things through the hands of the apostles. Doesn't say through the hands of everybody who became believers. It says through the hands of the apostles. That doesn't mean that the apostles were the only ones through whom God ever did a miracle. It does mean that that's what was happening here, and we should be accurate. They weren't putting people out in the streets, the sick, and so forth, in hopes that the shadow of one of the believers would fall on them. They were putting them there in hopes that the shadow of Peter would fall on them. God does as he sees fit, and he, throughout history, has not chosen to use everyone in the same way. But the people that he does choose to use include people like, Peter, who had denied the Lord three times. Okay? I mean, on the one hand, it wasn't everybody, it was Peter. On the other hand, it wasn't Peter because Peter was so great and he never did the wrong thing. No. God chose Peter because God can choose whomever he wishes. And we need to realize that. So, miracles were happening. People were getting healed. Demons were being cast out. This is real stuff. And it infuriates those who were in charge of the religious life of the people. The Sadducees and the chief priests were jealous because of what was going on. If you don't believe in miracles and they keep happening, it just really gets under your skin. The evidence was mounting up, okay? People were literally being healed, and no one could deny it because people knew the folks who were sick before they got healed. And it's like, I've known this person for years and he couldn't walk. I knew this person for years and he couldn't see. I knew this woman for years and she was deaf. And now look, they're walking and leaping and praising God. What are we going to do? We got to put a stop to this. It doesn't occur to people that maybe they ought to change their mind. Maybe they ought to change their position. Maybe they ought to realize that they've been wrong all these years and that God does work miracles. And that God does answer prayer, and that demons are real because that person, when they were demon-possessed, they were totally dangerous. And now, they're clothed and in their right mind. Wow. Maybe we need to rethink our worldview in light of the facts that God has put in front of our face. Well, no, let's don't do that. Let's just kill the messenger. They brought the apostles in. They arrested the apostles, verse 18, and put them in the public jail. Again, they are spending the night in jail. This isn't their first night. Just remember back, they were also in jail overnight because they had healed a man who was lame from birth. Now they're in jail again overnight. An angel of the Lord showed up, opened the doors, and let them out. And then politely relocked the doors. Don't ever think that God doesn't have a sense of humor. Okay? The next morning, the guards are there, the doors are locked, but the prison's empty. What happened? God set them free. Isn't that a great story? Don't you love that? I mean, if you find that humorous, you should. God had brought them out during the night, and his angel told them, now, you're to go to the temple and tell everybody about this life. Don't miss that phrase. Go and stand in the temple and tell the people all about this life. Did you know that Jesus came so that you could have life and have it more abundantly? Did you know that eternal life is in Jesus Christ? It's in him. God didn't come here to mess you up. God didn't send Jesus so that you could be miserable. I think some people believe that because we're supposed to sit sort of still and not distract others in church, that this is what the Christian life looks like. Don't look up at the ceiling. Just keep your eyes straight ahead and your hands folded in your lap. If we sing a song about raising our hands in the air, keep your hands down at your side. If you're feeling really enthused, you can go like this. But don't get out of control. Don't act weird. Just stay like this because God doesn't want any sudden movements. Okay? Makes him nervous if people get too loud. Our life verse is be still and know that I am God. Okay? That is a verse, and it's a great verse, but it needs to be taken in the context of clap your hands, O ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I mean, there's a whole lot in the Bible about how to worship. We need to worship and bow down. We need to kneel before the Lord. We need to be prostrate at times before the Lord. We need to stand and lift our hands in the air. We need to do all the stuff it talks about in the Bible because it's all good and it's all commanded. But these guys were to tell about the life that is in Christ Jesus.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, go and tell them. And so hearing this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. I just love that. Now,
the religious leaders assemble themselves. They call together the Pharisees. We got to invite them too because they're part of the Sanhedrin. It's a democratic body. It's a little like Congress. You know, you got the Democrats and the Republicans. You got the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And we get them all together and we try and reach consensus about what we're going to do. So while they're waiting to figure out what happened, why is the prison empty? The doors are locked, the guards are there, but the prisoners are gone. They get a message that the fellows who they had arrested and imprisoned are preaching in the temple. Well, we can't have that. Go get them. So they go and they bring them without force because they were afraid the crowds who loved the apostles would kill them. Gentlemen, if you could please come with me. It is very important. There's a meeting of the Sanhedrin, and your presence has been requested, really sort of commanded. Would you have been tempted, if you were Peter and John, to say, sorry, guys, we're busy? Hey, these fellas think we need to go stand trial. What do you guys think, huh? Oh, no, they said no. But no, they went. They weren't rebellious. They weren't disrespectful. They went. And they appear before the Sanhedrin and listen to what they're told. Verse 28. Didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name? Look, you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Okay. Excuse me. These are the people who said, may his blood be upon us. Okay? If there's any guilt involved, we'll take it. But now they're saying, hey, we didn't do anything. You're trying to make it look like we did something. We didn't have anything to do with it. What are you talking about? Why are you trying to make us guilty of this man's blood? He was killed by the Romans. These were the people who said, crucify him. And now they're acting like, we didn't do anything. We didn't. What are you talking about? I never cease to be amazed at humanity's capacity for insanity. Okay? And it is rooted in the deceitfulness of the human heart. I look at other people and I say, what is wrong with them? And then I say, oh, I'm sorry, that was a mirror. Be careful, we can fool ourselves. We can think that we are so innocent and pure, but if somebody else treats us that way or says that to us or does that, we look at it and we say, scandalous. How could they? Right now in our country, there is a huge, huge emphasis on tolerance. Okay? We've got to be tolerant of anybody who doesn't agree with us unless they don't agree with us. In our culture right now, if you believe that it's okay to engage in homosexual behavior, everybody is supposed to be tolerant of that. But if anybody says, I don't think so. That's not the way we were designed. It's not the way things work. It's not supposed to be that way. You're a hater, and I hate you. That's what's happening. Anybody who just says, nah, I haven't changed my view. I still believe what everybody has believed for a long, 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 long time. And I think this makes it pretty clear that that's the way it's supposed to be. You know what? Your speech, your thoughts, not tolerated. And so groups like, Young Life are getting kicked off of college campuses like Duke, Wayne State University. It's an epidemic right now spreading across our country. University campuses are saying to Christian organizations, if you will not accept our position, then you're not allowed. Why? Because we believe in tolerance. How's that tolerant? It's crazy. These folks were furious. They said, you're trying to make it seem like we did something wrong. You're trying to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the apostles replied, verse 29, we must obey God rather than people. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had murdered by hanging him on a tree. You know what I love about this? Peter didn't care whether or not they accepted the truth and then change his message accordingly. Peter just preached the truth. He just said, trying to make you guilty of this man's blood? You murdered him. I mean, he couldn't be. It wasn't like, well, I know you didn't mean to, but you need to understand that indirectly, you were partially responsible for what happened to Jesus. He says, make you guilty of this man's blood? You murdered him. But that's not the thrust of his message. He includes that because it's the truth, and they needed to be confronted with the truth. But he goes on and he says, but God raised him up.
God raised him up, and you need to know that he is the Messiah. God exalted this man to his right hand as ruler and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. The reason Jesus died was not just because these people murdered him. The reason he died was to provide the sacrifice that makes it possible even for people like them to receive eternal life. The amazing grace of God. He came to save us. The death of Jesus was for our salvation. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Please don't overlook that phrase. Well, when they heard this, they said, okay, he's right. We did murder Jesus, and I got it. Okay, we need to repent is what we need to do. Is that what they did? Verse 33. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered the men to be taken outside for a little while. And then he made a speech. He said, look, guys, a little history here. Just remember this and remember this. Now, in light of that, I'm counseling you not to oppose these guys. Just let it go, because if it's not of God, it's going to go away. And if it is of God and you oppose it, you're going to find yourself fighting against God. That doesn't say that Gamaliel was a believer, but he was a wise man. And God used him in this moment to preserve the lives of his servants. So they brought them back in and they said, okay, we're going to let you go. Well, not exactly. They brought them back in and had them flogged and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they released them. The apostles went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name. Every day in the temple and in various homes, they continued teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. You know what? Still happening all over the world. Governments and sometimes religious bodies are saying, don't do that anymore. Stop meeting. We had a family that lived with us this summer whose church back in their home country was bulldozed by the government. And so the believers started meeting in homes. And the government came and raided the homes and told them they couldn't do that either. That government has told people that instead of the Ten Commandments, they need to have 10 sayings of the ruler of that country. Why? Because governments are afraid of the truth. You and I are blessed to live in a place where, at least for now, the majority of those who are controlling the government are maintaining the freedoms that our ancestors fought very hard for. But there are a host of people in our country and in our government who want to put a stop to that. And you and I don't need to be afraid. We just need to keep doing what God's told us to do. God didn't promise, I'll make sure you never suffer for doing the right thing. God promised us that we would suffer for doing the right thing. But he said, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. Neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-4-1-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.